What is going on, guys? This is Eddie Saucedo, and welcome in to the third and final part of Jack Anderson and I's chat about what we have learned throughout our careers. And we kind of take time to reflect on little tips here and there that could help you guys out on the baseball field. So I hope you guys take a lot of value out of this episode, and this is part three of our chat. So if you have not checked out parts one and two, please be sure to do so. And if you have not done so already, again, make sure to check Thought Force out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we post daily mental game content that could help you guys out. So hope you guys enjoy the episode and talk to you soon.
You are listening to the hottest podcast in the game. This is the Thought Force Podcast. Get ready. It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone?
Here's your host, Eddie Saucedo. Play ball.
And I think it takes away a lot of the mess inside your head, because when you write things down during a game, you write it down and then it's gone. I mean, you don't have to remember it. So then your mind, all your effort goes into executing your process. And that's all that's in your head. You don't need to be thinking number 17 had this kind of tail, and then they might bring in a different guy and he has this tendency, and now you're thinking two pitchers and trying to execute your process, and that's just too much for your brain to be able to handle. But if you get, for me, at least for me, when I have a notebook, I write it down and then it's gone. And then if I face him again, I look again, boom, check it. Okay, now I'm ready to go. But it's all right there. It's just like a resource that I use that I don't have to rely on to remember. I don't have to rely on my memory to remember what exactly is going on. So I think that's a big part. And it doesn't just apply to baseball. Like I said, it applies to life, you know, whatever it is. If you're struggling with a certain thing, write it down, write down how you got better from it. And then that can increase your ability to a similar situation like that. Like, for example, I'm watching The Last Dance right now, the Michael Jordan documentary. Whenever I have free time, I look at that, because I think it's really interesting to go into the minds of one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And whether it's that or it's a podcast or whatever, I always take notes, because, you know, I'll go through them sometimes, go through my notes and be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I'll apply it to something in my life, whether it's on the field or off the field. But I'll take notes and yeah, they're kind of in the back of my mind because I wrote them down, but I don't actually really remember them. Like I'll read it and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that was in this podcast, but I won't actually apply it to my life until I read over the note again. And then I'm like, okay, that's what that meant. And going yeah. on to, it's a different, I used to take notes a lot, but never actually read back through them. And that's a big mistake that a lot of people make, is they'll take notes just to take notes, because people say take notes and they won't actually read back through them. But I mean, that's where the most is gained out of the notes, is reading back through them and going back over them, because that's why you took notes. You took notes to read them again, not to just take them and then throw them in the trash. So for all you guys that take notes, I highly encourage you guys to go back through them at some point. You know, it doesn't have to be a strict schedule. It doesn't have to be every Sunday or every 2 weeks. Just whenever you have time, like, just go through it and see what you find, and find different ways to apply that to your life. I think that's a big part of taking notes.
Yeah. And write down things when you suck too. You know, people are, we live in a world today where a lot of people are kind of scared to confront some of their weak areas, and they don't really want to address some points that can be improved. And you touched on it earlier, but when things are clicking along, your notebook's going to look fantastic. You know, arm felt great that day. Curveball was well. Was throwing my changeup well. You know, you're just writing down all these positive things from your outing. But note taking doesn't do you any good if you're not learning from it. So I doubt you're going to go back and look at your notes after you have a great outing, because in your head you think you can't really improve that much. You know, right. So don't be scared to go back and say, you know what, I felt terrible today. And my body felt okay, but mentally I felt terrible. And it was reflected in my outing. And this is what was going on in the morning. You know, I woke up after my alarm. I didn't have, you know, a good breakfast. So I was kind of dragging all day. I got my grade back on a test and I didn't do as well as I thought I would. So then you start connecting the dots and you're like, okay, well, maybe if I can take care of some of those other things,
right,
then I'm setting myself up for some more success when I step on the field.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I agree 100%. I think, things that happen earlier on in the day can affect how you feel. And some of those things you can control 100%. Like you said, waking up on time with your alarm. For me personally, like if I were to get up at noon or 1 o'clock, like I feel like crap for the rest of the day. That's,
yeah.
Like, for me to feel fresh, for me to feel good, I have to get up in the morning, do something productive. But there are also some other things that you can't really control. Like, let's say you're playing 6 games this week. Like, your legs might not feel as fresh as they did the first day of the week, maybe like later on in the week. And I know that how you feel can be a great feedback for how well you're executing your process if it's controllable. But there are other things that are not 100% in your control, and being able to go to the ballpark knowing you don't feel 100%, but knowing you're going to compete with 100% of what you have is a great skill to have. Is one of the most valuable skills any athlete can have, is going to the park maybe with a bruised finger or a sore, whatever it is, showing up. Because a lot of guys would show up and be like, man, I don't feel good today. It doesn't look like I'm going to be doing too well at the plate today or on the mound. But I think it's one of the best skills to have for being, especially in this game, for producing consistently. Because at the highest level, I mean, you're playing 162 games during the regular season. And that, then you add to that, hopefully, playoffs and spring training. I mean, that's an insane amount of games. Insane amount of times you're going out there and putting your body through a grind. You know, whether it's in the sun, standing in the crouch if you're catching, whatever it is, you're putting your body through a lot. And your body simply will not feel 100% every day. Even if you do your process as best you can, it's not going to feel 100% every time. And instead of showing up to the park like, man, I don't feel too good today, we'll see how it goes, it's an opportunity for you to learn how to play when not feeling 100%. And the higher level you get, the more games you're going to play, and the more you're going to feel like that. Even if you execute your process to the best of your ability, to attempt to make yourself feel as fresh and good as you can, the reality is it's not going to be like that every day. Like you said, some days you're just going to feel terrible for whatever reason. But going into the park and knowing you competed and were still able to come out on top, even with not your 100%, is one of the best feelings in the world. Knowing you went to the ballpark with whatever it is going on and you said, screw that, I'm going 100% with what I have. Let's see what you got and go for it. And being able to compete with that is, to me, one of the best feelings I can ever have. You know, going into the park with sore legs, bruised up finger, and going 2 for 4 with 3 competitive at-bats is a much better feeling for me, because I know that that's what that's what the mental game is all about, is going up and showing up when you don't feel good. Then going to the park feeling great and going 4 for 4. Because anybody can show up to the park and do well when they're feeling well, but not everybody can show up to the park and still produce when they're not feeling well. So that's something I take a lot of pride in. And it's just a shift in mindset. You know, it's nothing, it has nothing to do with your physical abilities. It's simply a change in mindset of, instead of looking at as, oh man, I don't feel good today, we'll see how this goes, to, this is an opportunity for me to improve my skill of being able to perform while not feeling 100%. And that's for me, is crucial as a part of the mental game, because baseball is all about adapting and being able to adjust. You know, some days you just won't be seeing the ball well, and you might have to adjust your stride. Or as a pitcher, you might not be able to locate. You might have to adjust maybe your target, where you're looking at, or whatever it is you have to adjust. That's what baseball is. Baseball is a game of making adjustments and pretty much just trying to survive the season while being as consistent as you can. I watched an interview with Christian Yelich the other day, and that's basically what he said. He said, you know, there's going to be maybe 2-3 weeks out of the whole big league season where you feel like you're lighting the world on fire. There's going to be another 2-3 weeks where you feel just terrible, like you can't see the ball at all. And the rest, it's pure survival mode. I'm going to adapt and just show up and try to produce as consistently as I can. But very few times are you going to feel 100% going into a game. And I think a lot of players fall into this trap of overvaluing how they feel, compared to, you know, it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going in there and I'm going to execute my process and compete as best as I can. And whatever happens, happens. But at the end of the day, I know that I competed 100%. As long as you know kind of how you feel has nothing to do with your lack of effort or lack of preparation, that's a really good spot to be in. Like you said, where when you're feeling bad and maybe it's because you stayed up late and just weren't disciplined, well, then that's a tough spot to be in, because you're basically just running yourself into a hole. But if you're doing all those things well, at some point you're still not going to feel well, but you know, I'm doing my best to survive out here and I'm going to compete to the best of my abilities. That's a really good spot to be in.
Yeah. And I, one of the biggest takeaways from playing at UIC was, as a starter, you probably make, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 starts a year, depending how long you play. And our coach would always say, you know, you're going to feel really good opening weekend. And that's probably it. And then, you know, when I was playing pro ball, I switched over to the bullpen. So I was kind of like our bridge guy thrown in the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. And the only time that I really felt great was at the very beginning of the year and after the All-Star break. Yeah. And then everything in between is just, what can you do to put your body and your mind in a good position to go out there and compete? Because, you know, you're playing at 7 o'clock at night, 5 days out of the week. You're getting home at midnight after all your post-game stuff is over. You know, your sleeping schedule's thrown off. Everything, you know, there's a lot of built-in excuses as baseball players. You know, it's hot outside. We stayed up late. Our game got rained out or postponed, so we ended up playing, you know, after a 3-hour rain delay. There's a lot of built-in excuses that baseball players use, and the ones that survive and the ones that kind of move on are the ones that, you know, can pinpoint where they need to be mentally, where they need to be physically, stick to it, and trust it over the course of a season.
Absolutely. I know we're running out of time here, but I want to get to one more kind of topic, and then I'll let you go. But the last topic is, I want to get into like a practical kind of mental game tips for the audience is, were there any things you went to, whether it was breathing techniques, thoughts, that you went to during games in any situations, whether you were nervous, felt pressure, whatever it is, were there any things you went to as a player?
Yeah, it changed over the course of time. So when I was starting, I used the wind up a lot more as a pitcher. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with how, Clayton Kershaw comes above his head and then comes set.
Yeah,
I think he does that out of the stretch, but I did that before every single pitch out of the windup. So that was just something that I don't even think I did it because of him. I think I did it in an inner squad one day, and I threw well, and I just stuck with it. It was one thing that I could repeat before every single pitch, and then when I was out of the wind or out of the stretch. I always, would wipe off my fingertips on the brim of my hat. So I had this huge, ugly brown spot on all my hats, cause that was my go-to thing. Right. So, but that was just my way of checking in before every pitch. It was my way of putting the previous pitch behind me, moving on to the next pitch. And then, as far as breathing goes, I did the standard breathing techniques. I didn't know too much about breathing. Right. But we practiced, deep and, affirmative inhales and exhales, so it wasn't those fast paced breaths. But my way of kind of moving on to the next pitch was definitely those little, pre-pitch routines that I had.
I got you. Yeah. I mean, I have a whole bunch of different things that I pull out of my toolbox during the course of a game, depending on the situation, how I'm feeling, how I'm thinking. But I'll share a few that have really helped me out. And I mean, when I was younger, I was a decently consistent player, but I think it's gone to a whole nother level now that I've started to learn more about the mental game and started to implement it. And one of them is, when failing, I like to basically just laugh off the errors or the mistakes. Whether I struck out just looking terrible with a half swing, just awful. Sometimes you're going to look like that. And baseball is going to be a game that's going to throw you out there and is going to embarrass you sometimes. Sometimes you're going to make a whole load of errors out in the field and you're going to strike out, and that's just the way the game is. And I feel like when players start going down this bad spiral of bad games, bad seasons, even, is frustration, anger, all these different emotions of fear, kind of angry at themselves. I mean, I've never played well with those emotions going on. Football might be a little bit different because you're going out and you're smacking other guys and tackling them, or being angry might be a good thing. But for baseball, at least for me, there might be some other guys that are wired differently. But for me, I've never played well being angry or frustrated at myself. So whenever something bad happens, whether up at the plate, defensively as a catcher, sometimes you just basically have to laugh it off and be like, "Hey, Eddie, that was pretty bad." And just kind of laugh yourself and be like, "Yeah, you look like an idiot right there." That's it, right? I mean, and you always have this joy when playing the game like that, because it happens. You learn from it. You identify what you did wrong, and you just laugh at yourself. You're like, man, sometimes you're gonna look like that, and on to the next one. But you always, I physically laugh it off, physically smile, because there are chemicals that go on inside your body that, when you smile, kind of release that anger, release that tension, and you're still free. It's the same smile you'd put on as if you got a double, the same exact smile and chemicals go off in your body from those two different scenarios, totally different results, but it puts you in a good spot because you play free and you play with a lot of joy. Whether you struck out twice, you're still in a really good spot because you're not frustrated or angry at yourself. And that's basically what it comes down to, is when players get in really tough spots, is being angry, frustrated, you know, all these negative emotions start going in, and then one at bat leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next, and it goes into a bad spiral. So
yeah,
that's one of the big things that I say a lot of people can start trying out, is whenever you have a tough at bat, a tough pitch, whatever it is, just kind of laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. And that's something I've also realized as I've gotten higher into levels, is the higher level people play, the more they're kind of willing to play just happy, loose and relaxed. And they're not as, you know, tense and have to perform. It's more like, yeah, hey man, how's it going? I'm just up here hitting or up here pitching. And again, you have to know yourself. That's not going to work for everybody. But for a lot of guys, that will end up working, is just playing loose, playing with joy, and having fun playing the game.
Thank you for listening to the Thought Force Podcast.